Hey, how's everyone doing today? Welcome to the first episode of the Murloc's Den, where we discuss everything from basic news, strats, gear, classes, specs, and max DPS. My name is Tim, and I'll be your host for this, and my co-host, as always, is Jason. Say hi, Jason.
Hello out there.
All right, so let's get started with some basic news. All right, so this week on MMO, the big thing is Plagueworks is coming up. Says it'll be unlocked next week, and people will be able to face up against Rotface, Festergot, and Professor Putricide. Is that how you say that?
That's what it looks like to me.
Putricide.
You have 10 attempts to kill him, to kill Professor Putricide.
And that was changed from the original announcement, which is good because, as always with new things, there's always going to be wipes unless you're part of that top 5% elitists. For us puggers, it's probably going to be pretty bad. Other than those new things, like, I really, there's not a whole lot on MMO Champion, and Blizzard's been out for the holidays. They post a lot about Cataclysm. I don't really want to get into that right now because we're still, you know, a little ways away from that.
We could probably talk all day about Cataclysm. So.
And it would all change in the next week. So you want to talk a little bit on, like, why we decided to start doing this podcast?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
All right. Well, we do a lot of pugs, basically, right? I mean, our guild consists of, what, 7 people, maybe?
Right. Mostly, you know, real-life friends that we just like to group with, have fun with the game.
So to do our raids, we're always picking up pugs. And we don't always get the greatest of pugs. Sometimes are spec a little odd, or gems
incorrectly, wrong enchants, no enchants.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to try to do here is just really just make the world a little better, you know, one pug at a time, I guess. Kind of let people know why you should probably gem this way or spec this way, you know, what people are using to get max DPS, how competitive each talent spec is, and why that is. Just really answer your questions about, if you go to a forum and you were to put something, you'd probably get, you know, 2,000 flaming posts saying learn to play, shut up noob,
reroll. You know, like, the big idea is just to make it easier to get the information you need to make your class better and to still have fun with the game and not become, you know, like the hardcore, you know, play 80 hours a week, you know, just to have fun with the game and still be good at your class.
All right, so let's start off with paladins.
Since we know paladins pretty well.
Since we both play some paladin. All right, so let's see. You got 3 specs with the paladin that are your big ones. They're known as a hybrid class. They can do a little bit of everything. You got Holy, Ret, and Prot. You mainly play
Holy and Retribution.
And I usually play Prot. Oh. So let's go into what kind of races you can be. If you're Alliance, you can get, what, Dwarfs, Humans, and
Draenei's.
And then if you're Horde, you're stuck with Blood Elves, which aren't the greatest classes, in my opinion. So which one's better? I guess it really depends on what you're doing, right?
I mean, you got your special racial abilities, you got special perks of the different races, so it's kind of hard to decide. I mean, if you're going Horde, you really only have one choice, but when it comes to Alliance, you know, you got your 3 choices. So we'll probably go over a little bit, like, which one's better for maybe Prot, and which one's better for Holy, if you were to go strictly down that path, or, it, you know, and still leave yourself options to do other specs if you want.
Alright, so we want to start off. You want to start off Holy?
Yeah, we can go over Holy.
Okay. Alright, so Holy. Tell me a little bit about it. What's your main role here? Is to heal, right? But why would you roll, let's say, a Holy Pally over a Holy Priest or Resto Shaman?
Well, I'd say probably the main thing is you have the biggest heals. You can last usually longest with your increased mana pool, and you have a lot of survivability as a paladin with your you know, your bubbles and lay on hands and just different abilities to help you stay alive longer. And then you have, you know, abilities in the Holy Tree to increase your healing.
So you also play a resto shaman off and on, right? So
right.
I know, like, most people group the Holy Paladin into the tank healer and the shaman into the group healer.
Right.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a paladin, you don't have the AoE heals that a resto shaman does with the chain heal. You can really only effectively heal, you know, two targets because of Beacon of Light, which I'll go into further down the road. But just with your massive heals, it's just so much better for the tank healing. You can just pretty much sustain that healing on the tank without too much assistance, really.
All right. So what spec do you see most people rolling with?
I'd say most people probably roll with like 51 and 18 in the 51 in the Holy Tree and then 18 in the Retribution Tree.
So 51, 0, 18?
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at?
Well, you have 2 points that you can kind of switch around. Some people like to put those 2 points into the Holy Tree for a little bit of extra, like increase to get the improved lay on hands, or you can go into the Ret Tree, or you really only want 18 points in the Ret Tree, or you can put 2 points into the Prot Tree, into Divinity, which will increase your healing done and healing received by, you know, additional percentage. You can usually only put 2 points in there, so it'd be about 2%.
Okay, yeah, I see. That's up in the first tier of the Prot Tree, if anybody's following along on a talent calculator or whatnot. So, all right, so go through, like, I guess, a basic healing rotation for a Holy Pally.
Basic rotation, main thing is you want to put your Beacon of Light on your tank. You want to keep that up at all times. And then you want to put your Sacred Shield on the tank. And, you know, as they're going in, you want to cast your Flashlight because you get that. You know, they added the Flashlight hot in, was it 2 or 3.2?
Yeah, 3.2.
They
did change that, though, in 3.3,
right? It's in the infusion,
right,
of light down all the way in the bottom portion of the Holy Tree, to where only Holy Paladins can get that effect now.
Which I hate, because I used to use that for PvP is when I did that as Prot.
Oh, and Ret, too, is really nice with
with the instant cast. And I'm sure that's why they changed it. They always change PvE stuff based on PvP, which I hate. That bothers the heck out of me.
Well, yeah, but, you know,
Blizzard has admitted that PvP is a little messed up, and they screwed up on arenas, but they're basing talents off of that a lot. That's completely different rant.
Yeah. So, yeah, we might talk about PvP later. We're not too much into PvP, but, you know, we might hit up on it. But back to the
rotation.
The rotation. So, like I said, you know, put your Flashlight.
Get
the Flashlight hot going, and then while your tank goes in there, then at that point you're pretty much going to be sticking to Holy Light.
So you just do the Holy Light spam, like the old school, just rip them off, huh?
Pretty much. Like when it comes to a raid situation, I would say yes, Holy Light is is your best bet. You get so much healing with it, and they also changed Beacon of Light in 3.2 to where overhealing is transferred to.
And that's huge. That was a massive change right there, because if you're throwing the heals off your off tank, and you're overhealing your off tank, your main tank's not getting nothing.
Right.
So with that change, that overheal has allowed you just spam Holy Lights basically on two tanks, right?
Right. You can effectively heal two tanks with your Beacon of Light without major issue.
Which is good. I mean, that was a big change, though. But they also, I think, did that illumination change,
right,
too,
they lowered illumination. You know, illumination used to give you mana back from your crits when it was originally 60% of your mana back, but now it's only 30%. So to kind of counteract that nerf, they changed beacon of light. Another thing that they did too that's really nice with beacon of light is they increased the range to 60 yards. So that can really help out.
So if you got your off tank tanking something clear on the other side of the map, you don't have to worry about the positioning so much of where you are. You don't have to worry about running over to your main tank, throwing some heals on him, running over to your off tank. So that's good.
Right, that's really nice.
It's completely beneficial.
And then during your rotation, you want to make sure you keep your beacon of light up on your main tank. You want to keep your sacred shield up, which is a 30-second, lasts for 30 seconds. And then you want to keep your flash of light hot on the tank, and that lasts 12 seconds. So ideally, you're going to be casting your holy lights on the off tank, or there are a couple special classes out there that have increased healing effects. So you can cast your holy lights on that, and that increased healing effect will actually increase the healing of your holy light done on the tank as well.
Okay,
so rogues have some.
Yeah, the rogues, they got that extra healing if they go.
I think it's called a quick recovery. And then some feral druids have the talent, but not too many spec into it. And also, you can also cast on yourself if you put the 2 points in the divinity, because then that's going to increase your healing of your holy lights about 4%.
Okay, yeah, here's the rogue. quick recovery. It says all healing effects on you are increased by 10%. In addition, your finishing moves refund 40% of the energy cost when they fail to hit. Well, that goes up to, 20% if you put 2 points into it.
So that's it's in the assassination tree. So, and I know there's quite a few rogues out there rolling with the mutilite spec now, so I think some of them do have that.
So basically, if you just spam the heals on them, your tank's going to get that extra 20% healing too, because due to beacon of light. Okay.
Right.
See how that works. That's really nice.
But other than that, and then I play Blood Elf, so I like to use my Arcane Torrent as soon as I get down to about 92%, just to kind of keep shoot me back up to about 98%. And then you also want to pop your Divine Plea. If your mana is starting to get low, I usually probably pop it initially at 75% mana. And then while I pop Divine Plea, because the Divine Plea has the reduces your heals down by 50%, you also want, what I do is pop Divine Illumination, which reduces the mana costs of your spells by 50%. Which then increases the effective mana returns from your Divine Plea. And then I'll pop my wings and
that basically help cancel out the the effects.
Yeah. It'll help cancel out the effects of that, minus 50% healing to where your wings will
20% healing?
Right, increases, so it's called Avenging Wrath. Increases your healing done by 20%, or increases all effects, healing and damage done by 20%. But as a holy pal, you're only worried about that healing. Another thing I actually forgot to mention was while your tank is running in there, he gets aggro. You want to judge the target, because judging the target gives you Judgments of the Pure, which is an awesome talent spec. Increases your haste by 20%. So that extra haste allows you to get your holy lights going off quicker.
Oh, yeah. So just you spam even faster.
Right. So, depending on your spell power and really spell power, you're going to be probably pushing with about 2,000 spell power, you'd be getting about 10,000 regular holy lights and, on crits, maybe about 16,000, something like that.
That's a big hill. And being able to just the faster you get that off, you don't have to worry about your tank taking stupid hits, like RNG or something. I see how that can be quite beneficial. All right, so we got the rotation out of the way, best way to heal your cooldowns and everything. Are you popping Divine Plea every time it's up? Is that a good thing, or should you?
Just kind of gauge. It's kind of personal preference, I think, on this. I don't necessarily pop it every time it's up, but I pop it pretty regularly. It also kind of depends on your mana pool. A big thing for Holy Paladins is your intellect, because that increases your returns from Divine Plea. Okay. So, you know, the higher intellect, and it also allows you to spam holy lights longer if you have a higher, you know, higher mana pool. All
right, so, yeah, we're talking about raid healing here. Now, when it comes to, like, healing heroics, is that any different? Is there a different spec? You know, with the changes to 3.3, like, a lot of people are gearing out their alts, are running the heroics, they're getting their badges of triumphs, doing that random dungeon tool, which I think is awesome, by the way.
Right?
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's one of the best things that Blizzard has implemented in a long time.
I'm gear my alts out something crazy with that now. So, are people specking more into heroic specs, or should you just stick with that 51-0-18? Is that viable for heroics and raid both?
It's viable for both, and the biggest thing is, like, the reason, I kind of want to go over this, like, the reason we go put the 18 points in the retribution tree is I know it's pretty far reach, and, like, a couple initial points are, you know, don't seem too great, but the biggest thing is you get 8% extra crit, and, like, you know, we went over the illumination, you get mana back from crit, so an additional 8% crit for your spells is
talking about
really awesome with the conviction and sanctity of battle.
Oh yeah, like an 8%, and that's from spells and attacks. So what's it? Conviction increases your chance to get a critical strike with all spells and attacks by 1%. So right. That's just a flat 5% spell crit.
Right, but you can put up to 5 points in there.
And then sanctity of battle increases your chance to critically hit with all spells and attacks by 1%. It also increases the damage caused by exorcism and crusader strike. But you don't really care too much about that, but that 3%.
Right.
So you get 8% crit to your spells off of just straight talents.
Right, which is very nice when it comes to being a holy paladin. Crit is very vital for your mana when it comes to healing. Because of illumination.
Illumination. So you're getting that. The more crit you have, it's basically your MP5 right there is crits.
It is. Really, it is. Like, yeah, crit is just, you know, awesome.
All right, so what, like, gear-wise, what should a holy pally be looking for?
Gear-wise, I know they're plate wearers, but when it comes to gearing out, you know, if you're gearing out your alt, do not worry about plate. You want gear with spell power and intellect. It's going to be, like, your number, you know, number one and number two. Actually, number one is intellect, number two spell power. And then behind that, you want to go with crit and haste. Because crit, you know, we talked about that, increases your return with illumination. And then the more haste you get, the quicker your heals become.
Okay.
So, and like, you know, you were asking me about the specs earlier about for five-man/raiding. And really, there's no difference really in the spec between that. They're both effective for both. That spec is effective for both. Sorry about that. And then when it comes to, like, healing for five mans, your tanks usually won't be taking as much damage, and your party members won't be taking that much damage. So you could pretty much flashlight spam all day long, you know, especially when you start getting your mana pool up there. So
I've seen paladins sitting in Dalaran spamming Flash of Light for 30 minutes.
Right. I mean,
and some of them gain mana when they hit, like, Divine, or what is it?
Divine Plea and Divine Illumination.
Yeah, Divine Illumination. Like, they're increasing their mana pool.
Right.
They'll go from 50% to 60%.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
And the biggest thing about being a good pally healer is keeping your beacon of light on the tank. That has bit me more than once. About letting it fall off. Like, I think, you know, get a UI to help track your beacon of light. We can kind of go into glyphs with this. There's a glyph out there a lot of paladins are using now that increases your beacon of light duration by an additional 30 seconds. So beacon of light is a buff that is, you know, initially 1 second, and then with the glyph, you get an additional 30 seconds.
Okay, yeah, so you're talking about glyph of beacon of light.
Right.
Go figure.
Huh? Right.
So that extra 30 seconds, it allows you to not really think about it as much. You get, you know, an extra 30 seconds of playtime, basically, of movement, maybe.
That, and also, it also helps with mana conservation. So the longer it lasts, the less you have to refresh it.
So Beacon of Light's like a huge mana
right.
dump.
It's about...
Oh, wow, we're talking 35% of base mana. So
right.
Depending on your mana pool, that...
At level 80, it's 1,383 mana. So casting it every a minute and 30 vice every a minute is going to save you, you know, considerable amount of mana.
Okay, so since we're talking about glyphs, what other two glyphs for your major glyphs do you roll with then? You got Beacon of Light, and then what other two?
I use Beacon of Light, and I like to use Seal of Wisdom, which is also another mana conservation glyph.
All right, so glyph of Seal of Wisdom. Well, Seal of Wisdom is active. The cost of your healing spells is reduced by 5%. Okay.
And then I also use... I'm drawing a blank right now. Let me think. Let me look. Oh, Holy Light. Sorry. Glyph of Holy Light.
Talking about Holy Light being your...
Yeah, I know, spell. Right? And Glyph of Holy Light's really nice for a little bit, like...
Gets that AoE heal. So
right.
Glyph of Holy Light says, your Holy Light grants 10% of its heal amount to up to 5 friendly targets within 8 yards of the initial target. Now, does that heal, that extra percent, does that transfer over to the Beacon of Light?
That does not transfer via Beacon of Light, and it cannot crit. But if you say, you know, if your Holy Light crits for 15K, then it can heal everybody...
For what, 1,500?
For 1,500, you know, 5 friendly targets within 8 yards of that.
That's not a bad heal.
So, you know, 1,500.
If you're melee heavy on your raid.
Right.
I can see that'll help out a lot. It sucks that it doesn't transfer over, though, with Beacon of Light. I guess that would be too powerful, though, because if you got 5 people, 1,500.
Yeah.
Somebody with really good at map, so 7,500 heal right there. Plus on top of what you already healed them for.
Yeah, it would be
a
little bit overpowered.
And then, do your minor glyphs matter at all? I know for me it's...
No, they're more of kind of... Well, I would say glyph of Lay on Hands is really nice because it reduces the cooldown on your Lay on Hands by 5 minutes.
Do you use Lay on Hands a lot? I know with the change to 3.3, which I hate now, that if you put Lay on Hands on yourself, it gives you a forbearance. So the days of bubbling, letting bubble run out to the last second, throwing your Lay on Hands on yourself... Keep going. I mean, as a prop pally, that was awesome, especially in, like, Warsong Gulch. I was the man.
Right. I don't use Lay on Hands probably as much as I should, to be honest, but I know a lot of pallies out there like to, at least holy pallies, like to use it on themselves because that gives you mana back whenever you use it on yourself. So, and that's the main thing a lot of people do that for. But then it's also, you know, you pop it on your tank. It's just a big heal that's going to heal for a percentage of your life.
Yeah, and the one change they did make right before they went live with 3.3 is that if you cast Lay on Hands on somebody else, it won't cause forbearance.
Right.
Which is really good because if you got like a dumb ret pally who doesn't know what he's doing and he's trying to help out the raid, you know, be that good, that DPS that's really trying to go the extra mile and throws that Lay on Hands in your tank and now he's got forbearance and he can't
use his divine protection.
Yeah, can't use divine protection now when the time comes and your raid wipes. And that, I can see how that would just get so aggravating, but I do like they made that change. So that does help out a lot.
So. Yeah, and then the other miners I like to use would be Blessing of Kings, which just reduces the mana cost of your Blessing of Kings and your Greater Blessing of Kings by 50%. And really that's like... kind of ease, you know, like, say, when you're buffing up at the beginning, you don't have to worry about drinking after you buff. And also, like, say, if, you know, somebody dies and you got a battle resume and you got to give them a spot buff of kings, that's 50% less mana that you have to spend to give them that spot kings.
All right, so what we're saying here is your minor glyphs don't matter.
No, not really. Maybe
Lay on Hands is probably the must-have.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's real beneficial. You can probably go with whatever you want. The major glyphs, they seem to be pretty much set in stone, though. Do people use the glyph of Seal of Light at all?
No, not particularly. I know there is one kind of variation. Some people don't go with the Beacon of Light glyph, and they go with the glyph of Divinity, which increases... go ahead and read that off for me, Tim.
Glyph of Divinity, your Lay on Hands grants twice as much mana as normal and also grants you as much mana as it grants your target.
So that way you can pop your Lay on Hands on your target, and you're also going to get that mana back. So that's really nice. And also you can spec and improve Lay on Hands, which is what some people are doing with those two extra points I was talking about, you know, when we place them in Divinity. Put them in an improved Lay on Hands, which reduces the cooldown by an additional 4 minutes. So then you can hit your Lay on Hands every 11 minutes. You're also getting the, what's that, reduces the physical damage taken buff on the target, you know, like on your target. Would be really nice.
Let's get down in there. All right, so improved Lay on Hands. Grants the target of your Lay on Hands spell 20% reduced physical damage taken for 15 seconds. In addition, the cooldown for your Lay on Hands spell is reduced by 4 minutes. Now, as a tank, that 20% reduced physical damage is huge. That's
right.
That's pretty good, especially like on that old crap moments where you're popping everything. It can really let you get through that transition with ease.
Right.
And I can see a lot of times like where Holy Pally's hurt is hots, right? Like you don't have a lot of hots, so if you go into a fight where there's a lot of movement,
yeah,
is that like a downside? Does that hurt you a lot?
It's not too bad. Like one thing that I actually didn't go over, which was kind of bad, but we got Holy Shock, which is a nice quick instant heal, which can heal, you know, on average probably about 6K, depending on your spell power. And that's just a nice, you know, instant heal, which can give you good amount of heal that can give you your time to get your Holy Light in there or your Flashlight if necessary. And also, if you crit with your Holy Shock, you get Infusion of Light, which increases, which will give you an instant cast Flash of Light, or it will increase the critical strike chance of your next Holy Light by 20%. So then you're like, so you get your crit Holy Shock on there, then you're like guaranteed
to crit
Holy Light after that. So that's really nice.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about gems. I've seen two things when it comes to Pallies. I've seen them gemming for spell power, which I know you hate.
Very much.
And I've seen them gemming for intellect, which I know you approve of.
Right.
Now, why is that?
The reason that we gem for intellect is you get more returns from your divine plea with intellect. It also increases your mana pool, so it allows you to get more holy lights in, you know, in your mana pool. And you know, you get effects from your intellect transfers over to spell power with holy guidance. What is it? 20% of your
total intellect
is transferred over to spell power. So, like,
so basically, intellect gives you more bang for your buck. That's what you're saying,
right?
Okay,
I mean, intellect is just
it's the all around.
Yes, it's
the utility.
And I mean, and when you're casting your holy lights, you're not too worried about spell power, because it's your big heal. It's almost guaranteed. If you're rolling 2K spell power, that's like, you know, 10,000 healing.
Yeah, so if you're just putting out, if you can put out like 10K healing, just on par, just going to town with it.
Right.
You don't really have to worry about doing anything else. Like,
right, you don't need to worry about your spell power.
Die.
So
what tanks? I mean, max tanks are rolling with like 50K is probably
the highest now. Probably
52, 53 is probably a big one. But most tanks are right around the 40,
30 to 40, yeah.
43, something like that. Unless you're, you know, one of those top raiders, you might be packing a little bit more. If you're a druid with a lot of stamina, you might be around 60K. A little
which
ridiculous.
Which is just insane, by the way, but, you know.
But most cool. People will say on average we're sitting around 43, 45K, fully raid buffed with at least, what, with 232, 245 eye level gear. So four heals, like, that's all it's going to take to keep them completely topped off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, you know, those big holy lights are your way to go. And, you know, with the proper amount of haste and with your Judgments of the Wise and your Light's Grace, which reduces the cast time of your holy light by 0.5 seconds, you can get anywhere, like, no problem, like, on average, about 1.5 second holy light. So every 1.5 seconds, you're healing for 10,000 at the lowest.
Okay, so when it comes down to a holy pally, you want a lot of intellect, a big mana pool, a bunch of haste, and that's, crit. And a lot of crit, and that's
right.
That'll give you, you'll be able to heal.
Yep.
On paper. You'll be able to heal on paper.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, just keeping your beacon of light on your tank.
Okay, all right. So let's move into the second spec. Let's go into Prot. That's my bread and butter right there. It's what I like. My main is a Prot Pally. I've played it for, man, let's say four years now.
Pretty much since BC, right?
Yeah, since BC. So, all right, talent spec-wise, there's a lot of different things out there for Prot Pallies. I tend to go with the, let's see here, is it zero points in Holy, the 53 points in Prot, and the... Yeah, 0.5318 is my preference. I know it's not the be-all, end-all spec, but I think it's got the most raid utility going for you.
Well, it's really good for the 5-mans, too, and really 10-mans, because you're not going to be guaranteed. I mean, we'll probably go into it more, but one of the big points that he likes to put in is in the Vindication,
yeah.
Which is, you know, reduces attack power of your target. And it's not something you have to hit. It's just as soon as you hit the mob with any attack, it puts that debuff
on.
Well,
it's a chance, but the uptime of Vindication is... It's got to be in the 90% wise. Like,
right.
I've only seen it really fall off once, maybe twice during a fight. It's usually always up there. It's not a big thing with warriors. Like, I know you play a Prot Warrior also. Like, you have to cast. You have to, like, shout.
Yeah, you have to do your demoralizing shout. So, like, with that, it's like it saves you the, you know, your GCD.
Yeah, you don't even have to worry about it. You just attack with what you should be doing anyways. And another thing I like, it allows you to get Pursuit of Justice. I'm talking about the 18 points in the Red Tree here. I know some people like to throw the 5 points in the Holy. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's just... I don't think it's worth it from what you can get from Rhett. There's so many gains that you can get. So the Pursuit of Justice gives you that 15% speed boost, which you'll see it a lot of top raiders will recommend that everybody has some kind of movement speed thing, either the boot enchant or
similar talents in other classes.
Yeah, other talents, maybe even a meta, which is probably, that's the worst one.
Right.
Be better to get a boot enchant over the meta gem that increases it. But so you get that Pursuit of Justice. So it frees up some, you can put the 22 stam enchant on your boots, which is a tank. You got to have that stamina.
Right.
And for a pally, like, the stamina is huge. Like, that's a big beneficial talent. And that I recommend actually gemming for stamina.
Right, but you get so many, like, extra percentages in the Prot tree for your stamina, like...
Big one is Argent Defender.
Yeah.
Argent Defender, like, damage that takes you below 35% health is reduced by 30%. So if you have a bigger health pool, you know, if you're packing that 50k HP, your 35% of your health is going to be a lot bigger. You're going to have a bigger window than
more effective hit points.
Than if you're rolling with the 42k.
Right.
So your EH, effective hit points, is a lot bigger with the stamina. I know a lot of people are talking about maybe, you know, like dodge or do the parry, don't fully gem for the stamina. It really is a preference, but you'll get more out of the stamina. It's kind of like the intellect for the Holy Pally. Like, stamina, it's more bang for your buck.
I know, like, when I used to play my warrior in BC, I used to gem for stamina because... My kind of theory behind it was, even if you gem for dodge and parry and block, you're not going to dodge, parry, and block everything. You are going to take those hits. So having the more HP, you can take those hits more often. Say, you know, your healer has to move, and you're not going to get that heal initially, then it gives you that more, it gives you, you know, more room on going without healing and helping out your healers, really.
Right. And then the other part of Argent Defender is when you die, you actually come back to life with 30% of your maximum health. So if you have a lot more health and you die, you're going to come back with more health. So you might be able to take a hit after you die, get some heals, and just keep right on rolling. Keep trucking.
Right. And then you also got the, the sacred duty. Also, you know, increase your total stamina by 8%. So the more stamina you have, obviously, you know, 8% is going to be more stamina.
Right. I think that's the last one for that.
You also got the combat expertise increases total stamina by 6%. So, I mean, you're getting...
With those two talents, the more stamina you have, the better that is, so...
Right. I mean, it's just...
I don't know the percentage-wise, like, you know, 2.1, 2.3, whatever. Just the more stamina you got, the better those talents are going to be beneficial towards you.
And really, when it comes to pugging as a tank, people look at your HP more than anything. So the more HP you have, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, you're a decently geared tank, you have HP. So it's going to make it easier for you to get into those groups, you know, with a tank with a good amount of HP than if you had low HP.
Yeah, you could roll in with, like, let's say you got 30k, let's say 25k HP, but you're rolling with like 75%
avoidance. People don't know that. So they're going to think you're, you know, a crappy geared tank.
Yeah, they're not going to look that up. You'd be like, yeah, I'm never going to get hit. Trust me. I'll get hit once out of 100 times. You know?
Right.
And people, they're just not going to realize that. Pugs, what we're mainly talking about here, is just not going to understand that. But if you step up with 50k HP, they're going to, jaw's going to drop and be like, yeah, come tank for us. You could have 5% avoidance. They're going to see that HP pool and just be like, oh, okay, come along. The other good point that I like in the Retribution tree is Crusade. It increases all damage caused by 3% and all damage caused against humanoids, demons, undead, and elementals by an additional 3%. So you get like a 6% damage increase, and that's everything you do. That's your white attacks. That's your Hammer of the Righteous. That's your... Shield of Righteousness. Judgments. That's everything that you have. That's a 6% damage increase. That's a huge threat per second increase. And as a tank, that's one of your biggest things right there. That's what you're working on is your TPS, your threat per second. That's what you're trying to max out there so that your DPS can just go to town and not worry about pulling aggro. So that 6% on what's known as duh mobs, demons, undead, and elementals. /humanoids that's where this spec will come out on top. Another thing I would like to bring up is only putting one point into spiritual attunement. Some people talk about, you know, having mana issues and not being able to keep up and running out of mana all the time. But if you're using Blessing of Sanctuary, and I've seen Paladin tanks using Blessing of Kings, and I want to scream. I want to just yell at them and reach for the screen and strangle them.
I, as a Holy Paladin, also want to scream at them.
There is no reason as a prot tank you should be using Blessing of Kings.
Because the only benefit that you would get over, you know, from using Blessing of Kings over Blessing of Sanctuary would be an additional 10% in your agility. But with the Blessing of Sanctuary, you're going to get that mana returns from whenever you dodge, parry, or block. So that's just going to keep your mana up, and it's just going to be... so much better.
Yeah, because you get the damage mitigation, you get like a 3% from all sources. So we're talking like spell damage, physical damage. That's the way to go, especially with all your other talents that mitigate the damage that you're taking. As a prop pal, you mitigate so much damage.
Right.
I mean, you get 3% Blessing of Sanctuary. If you got Righteous Fury up, you got like another 6%.
You got your glyph too, right? Your glyph of Divine Plea.
Yeah, let's talk about glyphs then. All right, so as glyph-wise, I like to roll with Glyph of Divine Plea. Anytime that Divine Plea's up, you take 3% reduced damage from all sources. So we're tacking another 3% on there. That's just huge.
Right. Do you want to go into that, talk about that talent that, you know, keeps your Divine Plea up all the time?
Like,
Now I've seen some pallies too. They have problem with mana concerns, prop pallies. And their biggest thing is they're not popping their divine plea.
Yeah, there's no reason that you should not be taken guarded by the light. It's way down the tree, but if you're prot, you should be all the way down there anyways, because you're going to go for the hammer of the righteous, which is one of your, if not your biggest threat, your TPS that you're going to be getting from your specs there. So, guarded by the light, reduces spell damage taken by 6%, gives you 100% chance to refresh the duration of your divine plea when you hit an enemy. Plus, your divine plea isn't going to get dispelled. Which I don't think there's any bosses that'll do that anymore.
No, not really, as I think of.
So basically, you have your divine plea up 100% of the time, as long as you're hitting something.
Right, I mean, it might fall off in between pulls or something like that, but, you know, you just pop it as soon as it's up, and it's going to be up all the time. So it's really...
So it's with really that, and the Blessing of Sanctuary, so every time that you block, parry, or dodge, you gain 2% of your maximum displayed mana. So you mix that with your Divine Plea, 1 point into Spiritual Attunement is all you need. 2 points, you're just going to be way up on mana, and you're going to be sacrificing threat per second from points in Crusade, or there is one place you could pull it out here or there, but just 1 point, it's more than enough.
Right.
And don't use Blessing of Kings. So the other glyphs I like to use is Seal of Vengeance. That glyph right there will help you hit your soft cap for expertise easy.
Seal of Vengeance for those Alliance, and then Seal of Corruption for the Horde out there.
Yeah.
They gotta make it difficult for the two factions, you know.
So you get this glyph. I believe it's just the glyph Seal of Vengeance. But it says your Seal of Vengeance, your Seal of Corruption also grants 10 expertise while active. And that's not 10 expertise rating. That's 10 expertise.
Right.
So the soft cap for expertise is 26 for prop pallies. I would assume it's the same for the other.
Yeah, it's the same for all classes.
And that's the dodge, right?
Right, that's the dodge cap. You know, you got the parry caps a little bit higher. But
I think it's quite something a bit ridiculous, higher, like 17% or something for...
Yeah, I think it's something like 40 or 50
expertise. Which is huge. You would have to, like, solely dedicate yourself to that.
Which is not worth it. Yeah. Not at all.
Because parry-gibbing, it still exists. Don't let people scare you about it. You may have heard a little bit about parry-gibbing. It's when you attack a mob, and he parries your attack, and it kind of resets his swing timer. Like, they swing faster, so they get their attack, and then the swing timer kind of resets and they get another attack. So you can attack twice back to back really fast. And it's not a big thing anymore, especially if you're uncritable. Another thing is you should have 540 defense. That should be the one thing you strive for.
Right.
When
it's initial,
your tank.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're trying to build your, say, you know, trying to build your tank set or whatever, or you're, you know, you want to be a prop pally. Then, you know, the number when it comes to defense is your 540 defense. You need that so you can be uncritable by mobs that are three levels higher than you.
I don't remember how much rating that is. 689 or
something
like
that. Yeah, I think
like
689, somewhere in there.
So, yeah, 540, you become uncritable. So that means bosses cannot crit you. So you won't have to worry about getting crit. And they took out Crushing Blows,
right,
which I hated. Because in BC, I rolled around with a Feral Druid for a while. And not being able to get that crushable that I could get with my prop pally, which was easy as a prop pally, that 102.4 avoidance thing.
Okay, so we went over your two glyphs. What would be your third glyph that you go over?
I like to use the glyph of Hammer of the Righteous. I know it's not, doesn't improve your threat per second at all. It doesn't help raid wise. But I do a lot of heroics.
Right, what's that one? So the Glyph of Hammer of the Righteous. Your Hammer of the Righteous hits one additional target. So, I mean, yeah, that's nice. Hammer of Righteous hits three targets initially.
Yeah, and then...
So then you get one extra target.
You get four targets. So, like, trash-wise, that is the optimal glyph right there. So, but people that are just focusing on raid and, like, single target threat per second, Avenger Shield. That's where you want to go.
Oh, really?
That's your highest threat per second if you got a glyph. Your Avenger Shield will hit 2 fear targets, but it does 100% more damage. The threat on that, when you got a glyph, it doubles it. I mean, it becomes huge.
Right, which is not something you really want to get if you're going to be tanking heroics, because Avenger Shield pooling is just so nice because, you know, it hits 3 targets, it slows right. them as they're coming to you.
And it cancels your spell casting. Like, they become...
Oh, yeah, it silences them.
Yeah, so you get the point... Shield of the Templar when you're going down, which you should get anyways because it reduces all damage taken by 3%, but it also grants your Avenger Shield 100% chance to silence target for 3 seconds.
Right.
So in heroics, I mean, that's pretty big.
Especially when you're pulling those casters.
Yeah,
I mean, those
you can just throw it at the caster. Now you got everybody grouped up. You can consecrate, you can hammer, and you're good to go. But if you're talking about single target threat per second, the Avenger Shield's going to be the glyph that you want to go with. Now, I do see a lot of other pallies going with the Righteous Defense one, which increases the chance for your Righteous Defense and Hand of Reckoning abilities to work successfully for 8% or by 8% on each target. Now, the reason for that is I've noticed a lot when I'm gearing up, I lack hit rating. My hit rating, every time I upgrade my gear, my hit rating drops.
Yeah, hit rating is pretty tough as a tank of any class. So having that, you know, extra chance for your Righteous Defense and Hand of Reckoning, which are your two taunt abilities, to guaranteed hit, then that'd be really nice.
Yeah, because nothing sucks more than your healer gets aggro or something, you know, something breaks away, and you go to taunt and you miss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah.
So I see, with a lot of people doing that 8%, it basically gives you an automatic chance to hit with your taunts.
So what about the minor glyphs? I know we talked a little bit about them, and we said there wasn't too many for the Holy Tree, but what do you think about...
Prot? Glyph of Sense Undead. That should be your guaranteed one, because... I mean, especially with Wrath of the Lich King, there is a lot of undead mobs. And
right.
What it does is damage against undead increased by 1% while your Sense Undead ability is active. And a lot of times I forget to use...
To put up your Sense Undead, yeah, but...
That 1% extra damage, it's you're doing more damage, so you're helping the raid out, bring the boss down, and it's
more
threat. So... That would be the big one. With, like I said, with Wrath of the Lich King, there's a lot of undead mobs. Like, Naxx was the big one. Like, everything was undead there. I don't know if there... Was there any in Trial of the Champion? I don't think there was.
Yeah, the Valkyr twins were
undead. So
And the Anu Barak, he was undead as well.
So that helps out a little bit there. And then with Icecrown Citadel, you know, a lot of those mobs are
everything,
undead.
Like,
so, again, it becomes a very viable... glyph. Then, just like before, the Lay on Hands, you might as well get it. It's 5 minutes of cooldown. You're probably not going to be using it very much because of the Forbearance, but there will be those times that you might just go ahead and pop it on you. Maybe a healer went down and you need that extra health is going to help you out to bring the boss down, that 1%. This will allow you to use your Lay on Hands more in between fights. And then for the third one, it really comes down to preference. There's not a lot. And maybe Glyph of the Wise.
Yeah, I would say Glyph of the Wise isn't too bad. That one reduces the mana cost of your Seal of Wisdom spell by 50%. So say you're in a case, say your Divine Plea fell off and it's on cooldown so you can't bring it back up and you're kind of low on mana, then you can just pop your Seal of Wisdom so you can attack some guys, get your mana back up, and it just reduces the mana cost on that. You know,
yeah,
just
so
kind of help you out.
A lot, yeah.
Right.
When it comes to mana conservation, anything that lowers your mana cost is good.
Yeah.
So what other prot stuff do we have? So the spec I go with, the 05318, which I recommend everybody try. There is another spec where you put points into the Seal of the Pure. Like I said, it's not bad. It's preference. There's a lot of times where 3 points into Reckoning, points in the Seal of the Pure, and points in Conviction can actually surpass the 05318 and threat per second wise. though when you do that, you lose out on your pursuit of justice, possibly your vindication, and then your divine guardian, which they did make a change to in 3.3. It's, I don't know, I wouldn't know necessarily call it better or worse. It was bugged before, where you could pop it and pop a bubble and basically absorb a lot of damage. Like ridiculous amounts of damage, almost infinity amount until your bubble wore out. But the new one is good. You don't have to worry about, a lot of times as main tank, you didn't want to pop Divine Guardian because you're taking that extra...
Divine Sacrifice.
Right? Yeah, Divine Sacrifice. Sorry, the spell is called Divine Sacrifice. The improvement to Divine Sacrifice is called Divine Guardian. So you didn't want to pop your Divine Sacrifice while you're tanking.
Then you'd be taking more damage.
You're taking like 30% other damage. So your healers might be... If you got a good healer, you could be like, hey, I'm getting ready to pop the Divine Sacrifice through this transition. And, you know, he would put the pedal to the metal and really put some heals on you. But a lot of times when I did, I would pop Divine Sacrifice and then the Divine Protection at the same time. It never affected me any, and I'd see like the raid not take any damage for a good 10 seconds. And that helped out a lot, especially when you're pugging a lot of things. But now, the new one, if you get the Divine Guardian, it's just an automatic 20% damage decrease to the whole raid, which I think is pretty big.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about how popping your Divine Protection. You just hit that Divine Sacrifice, and you just freed up 20% damage in your entire raid. So I do recommend that one, especially because it's such a huge raid utility. Another thing I would like to talk about, let's see here, like Seal of Command. All right, so the seals you use when tanking, Seal of Vengeance, Seal of Corruption, that's your number one single target, possibly two target threat right there. I mean, that's the seal you should be using, especially single target. Like, you're going to have like an extra 1,000 threat per second compared to Seal of Command. Now, where Seal of Command comes into play is when they did the change in 3.2.
Right, they made it with the cleave.
The cleave ability.
Right.
If you're tanking heroics, use Seal of Command. That's your money right there.
Yeah, I mean, was it three or more targets with Seal of Command? It's just so much AoE threat.
Yeah, you're going to be...
so much extra damage on those other targets.
Yeah, I'll run through heroics doing almost 3,000 DPS as a tank spec. That's... Heck, man, we don't even run a healer sometimes with our group, do we?
No, definitely not.
We'll run a tank and 4 DPS... I won't always be last.
Yeah.
So, Seal of Command, raid-wise, it's not... You're not going to want to use it too much. I've used it a couple of times in Trial of the Champion or Trial of the Crusader. TOC, 10-man. When our off-tank died on the Twins, I switched over to Seal of Command to tank both of them. It worked out. I was able to hold threat on both of them and not having to switch auras at all. And tanked them from, 50% down?
Yeah, something like that.
Without anybody pulling threat. So it does have its uses raid-wise. You probably aren't ever going to use it except for trash. But I definitely do like to have that point in there. Like I said, I do tank a lot of heroics. So take it for what it's worth. It's a preference.
I think that's all about. I think that's pretty much all we got about. Well, stat. We kind of talked about gemming stats a little bit, but
all right. So yeah, I guess stat wise. All right. So when your prop pally, you want to go for the 540 defense. That's the first thing you want to do. After you hit that 540 defense, then you can start working towards what some people call the. The Uncrushable back then, the 102.4 Avoidance. There's still some people that do talk about that. It's not as important.
Especially not too much, considering with, we're kind of talking pugs, but, Ice Crown with that whole 20% dodge.
Oh, yeah.
which, you know, we'll probably talk about later down the road when it comes to raiding some Ice Crown. But I would say definitely don't aim too far for the avoidance cap.
Yeah. So you hit that 540 defense, feel free to go past it. If you got 550 defense, 560 defense, don't worry about it. Like, defense will increase your dodge rating, your parry rating, your block rating too, right?
Right.
So, I mean, tit for tat, defense is an amazing rating.
Yeah, it's just, you need it to be an effective tank anyway. You need to have that 540 defense so you're uncrittable.
Yeah.
Being uncrittable is really important, so you're not taking as much damage.
Other than that, stamina. Stack that stamina. I don't care what other people say. They could yell at you for stacking stamina. Oh, you have 49k HP. Stack the stamina.
Right. We, you know, I kind of went over that earlier, but definitely stamina is your best stat when it comes to being a tank.
And then you want the, like we said, 26 expertise for your soft kit. Soft cap rating. That'll make it where you can't be dodged.
Right, which so is really nice.
That's more hits.
More threats per second.
More threat. You don't have to worry about stuff falling off as much because you're hitting more. Don't worry about the parry for that. You're not going to get it. And if you do get it, you're wasting a lot of other important stats.
Yeah.
Try to hit 8% hit rating. Which can be hard. Just keep going. That 8% equates to, what, 263 hit rating. It can be tough. It's a little lower in heroics.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think, at least for a warrior, we were looking into, or a while back I was looking, and expertise is a little bit more effective hit rating than actual hit rating itself, but hit rating is definitely nice when you have to taunt for like heroics, you know, and just increasing your threat.
Yeah, a lot of your tank gear is gonna have a hit rating on it. Some of it won't, some of it will, depending on, you know, what's going on. And then I guess that's really like a lot of your stats there. Really, the next rotation, there's the 969 rotation.
Right.
And all that really is cast something with a 9-second cooldown, followed by something with a 6-second cooldown. Then a 9-second cooldown, 6-second cooldown. And just continue that. 9-6, 9-6, 9-6. And there's been a lot of theory crafting going on. And I mean, the last post I really looked up on and read from Trial and Error, it doesn't really matter which one you're casting when. You want to keep Holy Shield up 100% of the time. And then just make sure you're not putting 2 6-second cooldown spells together. So like Hammer of the Righteous and Shield of Righteousness, don't cast those back to back. Throw a Judgment in between there, a Consecrate, a Holy Shield in between those, and you'll be fine.
Sounds like pretty good rotation.
That'll give you your max threat per second.
Yeah, it sounds pretty easy too, you know. Not have to watch. Another thing too, you know, with when it comes to being, this works for Prot and for Rhett, but it's a kind of a first come, first serve when it comes to your abilities when they come off a cooldown. As soon as that comes off a cooldown, you're going to want to use that ability. And really the 969 thing is just kind of getting you into that point to where you don't have to be, where you won't have multiple things coming off cooldown at the same time.
Right. Okay, well, that seems pretty good for Prot. Let's move into Retribution, which otherwise known as LOL Rhett. I hear a lot of people call it, but Rhett has come a long, long ways since Burning Crusade. Even since Vanilla WoW. Like, right. It has come a long, long ways.
I would say Retribution is nothing to mess with, really. I love Retribution, and it does a lot of damage.
Oh yeah, I'm getting out DPS'd on my Unholy DK by Rhett Pallies. They're doing 6-7k like overall damage in a heroic.
Right. I mean, they're pretty crazy.
But the main spec that you're going to go with would be the 5, 15, 51. Or, sorry, 55. All right, so we got 55 points in Retribution, 11 points in Deprot, and what, you say 5 points in Holy?
Yeah.
To get the Seals of the Pure?
Yeah. So, yeah, 5, 11, 55. It's all you really need. The really big thing for the 11 points in the prot gives you a little bit of raid utility. You get your divine sacrifice, which can help with, you know, raid mitigation, which we talked about a little bit earlier.
And as a rep pally, there's almost no reason not to pop the sacrifice, right?
Not really. I mean, you're gonna hurt your DPS somewhat when you pop your divine sacrifice, and then you're gonna bubble, because when you bubble, it reduces your damage down by 50%. But it's more important for your raid members to stay alive than for that extra damage that you're going to be doing at that point if you did need to pop that divine sacrifice. So it can help out a lot when it comes to damage mitigation for the raid.
Oh yeah, and if you're pugging, like you'd be the savior of the pug,
right?
Just off of one talent.
Yeah, and like the big thing about the 5 points and the Seals of the Pure, since 3.2, you know, they removed Seal of Blood. So you just got the Seal of Vengeance or Seal of Corruption. Your Seal of Corruption is going to be your number one damage dealer when it comes to single target. So getting that 5%, no, 5 talents in there increases the damage and judgments done by 15% on your corruption. That's just crazy additional damage when it comes to your Seal of Corruption or Seal of Vengeance.
So what about Seal of Command? Seal of Command. Same thing as the prot, like when
right,
you're
same
using
thing.
The
I like to use it in heroics because it's a lot of AoE damage. It's really nice for AoE damage, you know, in either like big pools and raids, like in Ice Crown, or in heroics, it's really nice. But, you know, when it comes to single target DPS, Seal of Corruption is the way to go. And really, the biggest, one of the major talent points to get, well,
is it or is it not?
Yeah, it's very important because you use mana to DPS as a rep pally. So you're going to get Judgments of the Wise. That's going to, every time you judge, it's going to give you, 25% of your base mana back. So at that point, you know, you're judging every 8 seconds. That's giving you 25% of your base mana back.
And judgments, that's up there on your DPS, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Is that number 3, 4, maybe?
It's number 3. Number 3 when you get into the Hammer of Wrath range. But above Hammer of Wrath range, it's number 2.
So, like, what, melees? Melees is usually number 1, right? Followed up by, like, what, Divine Storm?
Oh, you're talking about damage done?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, with the Seal of Corruption, kind of Seal of Corruption's your number 1 damage dealer. Melee is usually number 2, and then Judgment of Corruption is going to be your number 3 damage dealer.
Okay.
So,
That's on, like, single target stuff,
right?
Right,
single target, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, getting the Judgments of the Wise is really important.
If you're out of mana, you can't DPS.
Right, yeah.
And they did take out, so the Seal of the Blood used to have the glyph you could get for Seal of Blood, right, that would give you the mana back every time you judged.
Right, well, you also used to have all paladins used to have the spiritual attunement, right, so whenever you took damage,
you get back, and that's just now in the prot tree.
Right, so you don't have the Seal of Blood, so you don't really need to worry about that. Another big one that a lot of people that I think is really nice is the Swift Retribution, which, you know, your auras also increase casting ranged and melee attack speeds by 3%. So it's whenever you have any aura up, it increases, you know, everybody's haste by 3%. You also have another one that's really nice is the Sanctified Retribution, which increases the damage that everybody in the raid does by 3% whenever they are affected by any of your auras. So extra damage done is, you know, makes killing bosses easier.
when it comes to, so gear wise, how would you gear up for a pally? I mean, a lot of other people, you know, like you got haste. Is haste even a viable?
Haste is, I would say, is low priority, but it is good for pallies, for rep pallies.
What
because
about, armor pin?
Armor pin, I would say no. You do not want to go with armor pin because majority, probably about 50% of your damage done is going to be magical, is going to be holy damage. So armor pin does not affect your holy damage.
And holy already bypasses
right a lot of
right. There is no holy resistance really out there.
Yeah. So like getting armor pin is like, you know, if you have the, when it comes to getting gear, if it's something that's on the piece, then it'll be okay. But aiming for armor pin, do not aim for armor pin. The biggest thing as a pally, is going to be strength, because of the divine strength talent increases your strength by 15%. So the more strength you get, the more attack power you get. So for rep pallies, you know, you have one strength gives you two attack power. So, well, it's actually 2.15 attack power. So the more strength you have, the more attack power, the harder your attacks are going to hit.
Okay. So I mean, that makes sense. Like, you'd go for strength rings over agility rings.
Right. You want to go, really, when it comes to, like, if you're looking at pieces, you want pieces with strength, and I would say crit and haste. You got to worry about your expertise cap in there and your hit cap. Like, ideally, number one, hit rating. You want to get to your hit rating.
We're still talking 8%.
Right. Still 8%
for special attack.
For special attacks. So once you get to that 8% hit, then you want to start stacking your strength.
And then pretty still much the 26 expertise at all? Or
yeah, 26 expertise, because you're going to be attacking mobs from behind. So you only have to worry about the dodge cap when you're attacking them from behind.
That's a good thing to bring up too. With DPS, you should always, if possible, DPS the mob from behind. Because if you do encounter one of the rare mobs that does have parry giving, it's not just on if the tank attacks and the mob parries. It's anybody that attacks and the mob parries, the tank will take that extra hit. So DPS-wise, you should always be attacking from the back.
Right, and it also, like, say if the boss does a, you know, frontal cone damage, you're not going to be caught in that damage. And you don't have to worry about getting as much expertise,
now,
you know.
Except for, like, dragons. You don't want to attack dragons.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to watch out for the tail whip. But
attacking from the side.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Right. Be good with attacking from the side. And we'll go into the glyphs a little bit. Let's say your number one glyph is going to be Glyph of Judgment, which increases your judgment damage by 10%. Which is just crazy. I mean, like, Judgment is such a high damage dealer. So, you know, another 10% on that is just increasing the damage so much.
Yeah, I think I've seen Judgment's critting for, like, 7, 8K. Like, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one. We're going to go with the Seal of Corruption, too, because that's going to help out with your Seal of Vengeance. But that helps out with your expertise cap.
Yeah, 10 expertise is just, it's just huge. It's just
right.
Massive.
It's awesome.
So much.
And another one that, and I'll say the third one is kind of up and down. A lot of people do consecration. And the reason they do the consecration is so you don't have the overlapping cooldowns coming down. Like, it kind of reduces the overall damage of your consecration, but, or the overall damage is the same, but your damage per tick is going to be lower. But it keeps you from the overlapping cooldowns coming up. I know that's what Allegiance Jerks goes with. I'm also a big fan of Exorcism, now that they changed it to where you can Exorcism anything. And that increases the damage done by Exorcism by 20%. And that's just awesome.
So it's kind of a play style, really,
on that
case.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a little bit easier rotation, then you can go with the Consecration. If you want to try and squeeze out a little bit more damage, then I would kind of say Exorcism. One thing that I didn't really mention is Art of War.
Art of War is a must-have with the exorcism changes. It's whenever you critically hit with any melee attack, it reduces the spell cast of your flashlight or your exorcism by 1.5 seconds if you have two talent points in there.
And is Crusader Strike and Divine Storm considered a melee attack also?
Yes.
So it can proc off your white attacks, your Crusader Strikes, and your Divine Storms.
Yeah. So giving yourself
a lot.
Right. I mean, you need that to get your instant cast exorcisms in there. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, that was one of the big changes in 3.2.
I noticed when I was playing around with it on, like, the PTRs and stuff, like, I had a proc, and exorcism would still be on cooldown most of the time.
Like, like, once you start attacking the boss or the mob, your Art of War will always be up. It should not be an issue, really. We can kind of go into the rotation a little bit. Like I said, it's kind of the first come, first serve. But you kind of have a priority list, and what I like to start out with when I'm going in on a mob is to judge them, because you have, you get the extra 3% crit with the Heart of the Crusader, so, you know, it's going to increase your damage, obviously you got more crit. So you do your judgment, you do your Crusader Strike, Divine Storm, Consecrate. About that time, you should have an Art of War proc, and you can do your Exorcism. And then Crusader Strike should be coming up. Then you just pretty much do whatever comes off cooldown first. You have a priority list. Like, Crusader Strike is top on the priority list. Then you got your Judgment. And another thing you got to worry about once you get down to 25%, once the mob gets below 25%, you got Hammer of Wrath, which is number two priority when it gets down that low. But, I mean, Hammer of Wrath is an awesome spell. So you should try to use Hammer of Wrath whenever it's up. And then you got your Consecrate and Divine Storm. And that's really about it. I mean, when it comes to the rotation, just using whatever comes up first. And DPSing the mob. And then one thing we wanna add, that I wanted to add, was for the minor glyphs, we got wanted to use the Sense Undead as well, like we were talking about Prot, because, like I said, a lot of the mobs are undead, so that extra 1% damage is really beneficial.
Okay, so what gems? Just pure strength gems, or do you go for socket bonuses at all?
I like to go for straight strength gems. Obviously, you want a gem for hit, and then you want to get your expertise. After that, you want to go to strength. That's really about it. Like, you get just so much benefit from strength. You got talent points that gives your strength, your attack power turns into spell power. So, like I said, you know, a lot of the damage done.
All right, so I think that pretty much covers all the paladin specs, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think pretty much went over holy. Retribution, protection.
So let's just hit on some key points. Holy, you want a lot of intellect. You want a lot of crit. You want a lot of haste.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
Prot, you want a bunch of defense. You want a bunch of stamina and a lot of mitigation.
Yeah.
And ret. A lot of strength.
And you want your hit rating.
Hit
and
rating.
Expertise.
And expertise.
That's really about it.
Can't damage what you can't hit, right?
Right.
Okay, so that does it for our show then. First one in the bag, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so this is what we do. Talk about WoW. We'd like to hear more from you, if there's anybody out there even listening, which I would like to hope there's at least one or two of you.
Hopefully
you
get a couple of listeners.
So go ahead and feel free to shoot us an email at themurlocksden@gmail.com. That is themurlocksden.
at gmail.com. Just really send us an email about anything. Tell us if you liked it, if you hated it. Tell us to learn to play. We'll find you, fly to your house, and punch you in the face.
I don't know about that. It seems a little bit too excessive, you know, but we'll see what we can do.
And if you did like it, tell us what you liked, what you would like to hear more of, maybe. Have us get more into the reasons why you should gem rotations, maybe a little bit more of that. Or if you have any questions, if you have a talent spec that you think we should have mentioned, give it to us. We'll give it a try. We'll actually run it through a couple heroics, maybe a raid or so, and we'll let you know how it's faring with everything else. Maybe you found that hidden jewel, the diamond in the rough.
Right. And really, I mean, if you have any questions about the game, you know, anything really, we'll see if we can find the answers, see if we can help you out. Maybe we'll discuss it. I mean, it might be a common unknown among many people that we can go over on our podcast and let people know about.
Yeah, so don't be afraid. I mean, we're not going to call you stupid. We're not going to tell you learn to play. We're not going to say go die in a fire, nub, noob, any of those names. We're not going to go down that road. I mean,
right.
we're doing this to help you.
Right, to help you out.
Everybody, even help ourselves out. Like, we learn a little bit looking things up, dusting off some old knowledge.
Right.
So, really, just shoot us an email. Again, the address is themurlocksden@gmail.com. And try to get back to you as soon as we can with this, once a week or so, right?
Yep. Okay. Looks like we're going to try and do that.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Yep. Goodbye.